Good evening. I want to take this time just to unpack a little bit of this story. So much of this story down through the time of my life has confused me. Every part of me wants to see Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem, knocking upon that door of the inn, the door opening wide, and the innkeeper saying, "We've been waiting for you." But instead, the innkeeper says, "There's no room," and the door slams shut, and I'm confused. I say that because I listen to the heart of the narratives of Matthew especially and Luke. They're all preparing for this moment. I have spent years just reveling in the Old Testament story that right from Genesis 3, verse 15, there is a call that one day a Savior will come to rescue us from our sin. One day he will come. And then down to the corridor of the Old Testament, the image of this gets brighter and brighter. This sense of expectation that Messiah is going to come. The reading tonight from Micah, the prophet, that child not only is coming, who will sit upon the throne of David, he shall be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah, the shepherd whose coming and goings have been from long ago. Already the details are falling into line as the Old Testament comes to this moment when suddenly to Zechariah an angel appears and the messenger of the Lord, John the Baptist, is announced. And suddenly Elizabeth finds herself pregnant. Messiah is coming. And then you've got the revelation of Mary, the angel coming to Mary, this child to be born inside of you, a virgin, just like it was said in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall name this child Emmanuel, God with us." There's the sound of the coming. And now Mary knows that child is going to be mine. The mother of our Lord. There's expectation building. Just the voice of Mary coming to her cousin Elizabeth. Just hearing for Elizabeth to hear the sound of Mary's voice. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist, little preacher that he is, down deep in the womb, stands and rejoices at the coming. It's time. If you're a writer of any kind, your writing always builds to moments. This moment is here. This moment is now. And you see it in the fact that the Magi are coming. They're following a star. I wish we could take time to unpack their story, the biography of the Magi and the nature of this star. They actually went to Jerusalem. They went to tell everybody, the star is here. The ruler, the king of Israel is coming. Oddly, nobody heard them and saw them. And so they went and followed and they came to worship. And then there's the story of the angels. Just like you heard from Revelation 4 today, the door of heaven opens wide, the throne of God Almighty. There he is, all the angels, the myriad of angels announcing today in the city of David, the good news of great joy. A Savior is born to us, who is Christ the Lord. And the angels, they cannot contain themselves. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being there with the angels and rejoicing? This is what it's all about, this Christmas joy. And I'm fully expecting this moment for the innkeeper to get it. Everybody's getting it so far in the narrative. The innkeeper doesn't get it. And as the door closes, I almost can hear the sound of the door shutting in Joseph and Mary's face saying, "There is no room here." And I see the world just divide into two. I don't understand it. I don't want this. I want the narrative. I want my narrative. I want my narrative. This is the big reveal. Everything's moving. This is the big reveal. It's going to happen. The moment is here. The Savior has come. The big reveal. And the child is going to a barn with animals, not exactly sterile, a delivery room, alone, dark. I'm not sure I understand. And the world divides in two. Those who see those who can't see, those who receive, those who can't receive, those who make room, and those who don't. I didn't think that was going to be the narrative of tonight, but the world divides into two. So when the Magi come and they bring the gold and frankincense and myrrh and they fall down to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, this brand new baby, they already know his story. They already know who he is and they worship him. And yet when they get up, they have been warned about Herod. Joseph, sleeping at night, the angel of the Lord comes to him and warns him that Herod and the people of Jerusalem are coming to kill the child. The world has divided into two, those who see, those who don't, those who receive, and those who don't. And Mary and Joseph have got to flee to Egypt until Herod dies, and then they'll go to Nazareth. That town of no reputation, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And for 30 years, silence. Where is the big reveal? Everything was moving to this moment. Did you ever ask that? Did you ever hear the sound of that door shutting? There's no room here. When John, the gospel writer, wrote his narrative of Christmas, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and nothing came into being that has come into being but by him." And that Word that was with God and that Word that was God became flesh and dwelt among us. But then he whispers the verse 11 of chapter 1. It's a stunning verse. It's a shocking verse. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The next verse says, "But to those who did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God, born again in Christ. To those who did receive, to those who didn't receive, the world has divided into two." Is it not so tonight? There was a Roman Catholic Archbishop of last century by the name of Oscar Romero, Archbishop of San Salvador. And he wrote a little poem. He is known in history for his voice because in the midst of his country, there was injustice and violence and people were dying. And he lifted up his voice for mercy and kindness and peace. And the Archbishop, the fourth Archbishop of San Salvador, at the table during the midst of Eucharist, was gunned down. But his voice, listen to his voice. It's saying the same thing, this world that is divided into two. This is the poem that he wrote. "No one can celebrate a genuine Christmas without being truly poor. The self-sufficient, the proud, those who, because they have everything, look down on others, those who have no need even of God, for them, there will be no Christmas. Only the poor, the hungry, those who need someone to come on their behalf, those who need someone to come on their behalf will have that someone, and that someone is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He's come to save. He's come to rescue. But if you don't need a savior, tonight means nothing to you." And so the self-sufficient and the proud, those who are only caught up in their own little tiny worlds, only thinking about themselves, they're lost in mind and heart. They're celebrating Christmas. They just have to redefine Christmas. It's now called winter solstice. It's called holiday. It's called being with family. It's generosity, but it's traditions. It's all the stuff that we know of the American Christmas without needing or longing for a Savior. And that's why suddenly you find, as you read the Gospels completely, utterly, absolutely change in your mind, because you're walking through and you see there are so many people who don't get it, and then there are people who do, and the ones who do are the ones in need, the ones who are hurting, the ones who are suffering, the ones who down need, know that they need. They're the ones clamoring to touch his garment because they're so desperate inside. You've got the sound. I love, there's so many stories I wish I could just do right this moment of those who see. There's a Roman centurion who was not brought up in this faith and yet knew this faith, and his servant was dying. And he calls out to Jesus, "Would you have mercy upon my servant?" And he looks at Jesus and said, "I know who you are. I know who you are. All you have to do is speak and it's done. I know you." And Jesus marveled, because this man saw what so few could see. I love the story of Bartimaeus, the blind man. He wanted to see with his physical eyes, in the midst of the crowd that was all wanting to see Jesus perform some kind of miracle. But this man lifted up his voice and he cried out, "David, son of David, Jesus, have mercy upon me, son of David." And Jesus stopped. How does he know me? How does he know that I'm the promised of the son of David, the king? How does he know this? Because the blind man can see, though his eyes don't work, what nobody else can see. And I hear that door close, and I know why that door closed. It closes because there are those who see and there are those who don't. Those who receive and those who don't. Those who make room for him because they need him. And that's why you see at the very end of the life of Jesus, the very last week of Jesus being with us, all the people, just as he had said so clearly to us, those who are healthy do not need a physician, but those who are sick, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I've come for those who know that they need a Savior. That's why I've come. And all of them gather on this Palm Sunday, and they just erupt in praise. Again, that door of heaven open, and I see the angels all singing as everybody just with one voice cries out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Son of David, King of kings, Lord of lords." And they're praising him. Even the children cry out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But in Jerusalem, the politicians and the rulers, they're all plotting to kill him. While these people are praising him, and the world is divided into two. And somehow I realize that my life is divided into two, too. It took me being just as the archbishop said, to be truly poor. Oh, it's not poor meaning the bank account. It's the broken spirit. It's the broken heart. It's when you've got nothing less in life, nothing less, nothing more that you can do. When you're beyond your own control, when you're beyond your ability to help yourself, when you're no longer self-sufficient, and now that cry comes out. That's what was happening to me when I was at the age of 20 and my entire world had collapsed. The world that I knew, the home that I loved, was gone. And I was lost, and I was walking the campus of my college, just doing what I was supposed to do, but there was a darkness all around me until somebody had the eyes to see me and lead me to Jesus and teach me. Those who ask, it will be given. Those who seek will find. Those who knock, it will be opened to them. And I was at a place where I needed a Savior. There is no Christmas until you need a Savior. No. We'll all be self-sufficient and proud. We'll all live our lives under our control, doing what we want to do our way. And we'll bring in the Lord when we want Him or need Him on our terms. It's until you've come to the point where you're powerless and helpless and you need Him. That's when Christmas begins. That's when the joy begins. And that's what happened to me when I was 20. All my friend did was tell me to pursue Him until that day. Just like the scripture says, as Jesus lifts up His voice and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens that door and hears my voice and receives me, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." That when he knocks on the door, we're going to open and we're not going to say, "No room. No, no." We're going to open that door and say, "Lord, I have got room in my heart for you. I need a Savior to rescue me." And he wants to come and dine with us and be a personal Lord of our life. And that's what happened to me. And suddenly it wasn't performance. You know that, I'm so sorry, but a lot of times at Christmas I hear everybody performing the carols. The performing of the carol. Oh, wasn't that carol beautifully performed? But it's when the carol comes out of your gut that you know it's really yours. Listen to this. Listen to the author of this one. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." It isn't come. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." Come on. This is, no, no. When joy comes upon you, this is what the writer couldn't hold the pen. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Prepare your heart, hear his voice, and receive Christ into your heart." That's what this is about. That's why it says, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go shout it to the world. Christ our Lord, our Savior, is born. Oh, man, when you've got a song in your heart. When Christmas is really born inside of you. Actually, when that happens, it suddenly makes all the sense as to why the big reveal hasn't happened yet. Why he didn't do the big reveal on my re-choreographed Bethlehem scene, which I would have heartily recommended. He did it on his schedule because the only way he was going to come and save us was to go to that cross. And to be the lamb, just like that manger where he was born, filled with animals, filled perhaps with a lamb, he had come to be the one to take our sins upon him and pay the cost that you and I should have paid. He did it for us to save us. And then he rose on the third day and told us to go everywhere and tell everyone the Savior has come. And every time we speak this, the world divides in two. Even this room, there may be people here divided into two. Those who know a Savior has come and those who do not need a Savior at all. You're quite self-sufficient. You've come here because you were drugged. I don't mean that wrongly. This is not a pharmaceutical moment. This is just, somebody, well, maybe it is a pharmaceutical moment. I don't know how you're doing right this moment. But the reason I'm saying it is that, my friends, this means nothing to you unless you need him, unless you need a Savior to come. And then, all of a sudden, when you realize it's happened to you, every time anyone knocks on the door and they're in need, we respond. We don't close the door and say, "Look, I don't have time for you." And so Jesus taught us this. When you see the hungry, feed them. When you see the thirsty, give them a drink. When you see the stranger, welcome them. When you see the naked, clothe them. When you see the sick, comfort them. When you see the prisoner, go visit them. And then Jesus said this, do you know every time you do that, to the least of these, the ones hurting the most, you're seeing me. You're doing this to me. When you're sitting at the bedside with somebody dying and looking into their eyes, and you're seeing somebody who's just hurting and lost in life, and you're crying out in pain and in need, these are the ones to whom the Savior comes. But the heart has to be soft. The pride has to be gone. No longer just so self-occupied. No longer about you. It's about coming to the end of you, that you lift your hands and say, Lord Jesus, I need you to come rescue me, to save me. So the good news of great joy that a Savior is born is great news and great joy to me, to my heart. He's come for each of us, but you're not going to know it till you need him. And when you need him, then the sound will burst out of you. A sound of joy, a sound of Christmas, a sound of Easter. And we will all prepare by all our lives, helping those in need. And every time we help them, we'll see Jesus. And then one day, because the script is not finished, you know, there's going to be the big reveal. He's going to come in glory. He's going to come in all the shining glory with all the angels, the myriad of angels, in the glory of his Father. And he's going to sit on that seat of judgment. And sure enough, the world will be divided into two, the sheep and the goats. He hasn't come back yet because he wants all those. He would that none of us would perish. He wants that all of us come and know the sound that a Savior has come. I do not understand how in 2024 the world keeps going as if this night didn't happen. I don't get it. We even number the years to this date. I mean, it's like, did you know 2025? What is that mark? Back to the little cry in Bethlehem. But the world can't see because the world is divided into two. Those who see, those who receive and make room for the Savior in their heart. Have you made room for Jesus in your life? Oh, I pray so. I pray so. Because then you will know Christmas, Easter joy all your days. Merry Christmas. Let's pray together.